Our scripture this morning is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 21, and it is found on page 1827. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I might boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. For even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not in those of Christ Jesus.
This morning, we're continuing our series titled The Joy of Unity. Now, I don't know if any of you have been light bulb shopping as of late. About a year ago, I just wonder what the days, where they went, where going and buying a light bulb only dealt with the wattage. If you haven't shopped for any light bulbs, I'm telling you, you can get daylight, you can get soft white, you can get incandescent, you can get CFLs, you can get LEDs, you can get all kinds of different light bulbs. And right after Kathy and I, we purchased our condo, we set out to replace all the bulbs with LEDs to save on the electric bill. So I'm standing in Lowe's at one day, and I'm looking at the whole light display, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what did I do? What did I get myself into? And so I brought these here this morning just as an example. The interesting thing is about no matter what type of light bulb you buy, if they remain in the package, in the box, they'll never do what they were created and designed to do. The Apostle Paul in this text here this morning, the second chapter of Philippians, he is writing from a prison cell. He is writing to the church at Philippi. Now picture this, he is writing this letter to the church at Philippi seeking to encourage them to be joyful. And yet there he is in prison. He is imploring them to be joyful. He just finished up at the beginning of chapter 2 with the song of Jesus and how Jesus, although he was equal with God, did not consider himself to be as God. But yet he humbled himself and he lowered himself and placed himself into submission under God's will. To put it another way, Jesus plugged himself in to God. Jesus called himself the light of the world. And yet, from time and time again, he would escape in the early morning hours, or he would escape from the crowds, and he would go and he would spend time with God the Father. I'm here to tell you that I believe he did that to get plugged in, to plug in to the source of what would cause him to be the light of the world. So the Apostle Paul, a prisoner, writes to this church who was sadly divided. The church at Philippi, they had issues, and many of these issues dealt with two church leaders, Euodias and Syntyche, that were at odds with one another, and so they had this conflict going on. And so Paul says, have this same mind in you that Christ Jesus had in himself. But then he continues on, and we just heard the text. Now, if you're like me, you can read this text and you can kind of get lost in this text as to what he is saying. And many times we will look at this text and we will focus on the external behaviors. We will focus in on the complaining and the arguing. We will focus in on the evidences or those things that we can see where the source of the light is plugged in. I'm here to tell you that the source and the meaning of this text is found in verse 16. The first half of verse 16 says this. It says, as you hold out the word of life. This is the key, friends. The key for you and for me to shine as stars that the Apostle Paul goes on and says that he wants us to shine in a perverse and crooked generation in a dark, dark world. The whole key to this text is this, that you and I, we must hold out the word of life. You see, our intentions can be well, but if our intentions are not followed through, they remain just that, intentions. You've all heard the cliche, the way to hell or the path to hell is paved with good intentions. John Ray said that. Some say Samuel Johnson said it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he said it this way. He said, hell is full of good wishes or desires. You see, we can have the best intentions in this world, and yet if we don't follow through with those intentions, they remain just that, intentions. And yet even sometimes intentions in life, they can not result in the results that we want. In the 1970s, catfish farmers, they introduced the Asian carp into their fisheries with the good intention of keeping the water clear of plankton and algae, allowing for healthier catfish. Yet the voracious and aggressive Asian carp, which can reach over 100 pounds, they fly through the air and they can injure boaters. Many of you probably have seen the videos of this. They also decimate the native fish species. It's now overtaken the Mississippi and Ohio rivers, and they threaten to do the same to the Great Lakes. So what are we to do with intentions? Intention, friends, it can be defined as an act or instance of a determining mentally upon some action or result. An act or instance of determining mentally upon some action or result. The light bulb can have the best intention of the world to light up the area in which it was designed to do, and yet if it is never placed in the socket, it will never do that. Apostle Paul says we are to hold out the word of life. You see, God's word is the socket. God's word is the energy source. God's word connects us with him and his will and his desires. God's word is what will motivate you and me to move forward, to shine as lights, as stars in this perverse and broken generation. It's interesting to me, at the beginning of this text, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, therefore, friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but in my absence, how much more in my absence to continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is not to say that we work for our salvation. This is to say that we continue to work in it and allow God to work in it. He continues on and he says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You see, the living Lord is working in you and me, but if we separate ourselves from his word, we are not going to have the source. We're not going to have the power. Now, may I remind you all this morning that the same word that created the heavens and the earth, when God spoke it, it became into existence, is the same word that exists in the Holy Scriptures. It's the same word that exists to transform, to unify you and me, to renew our minds, to sanctify us, to make us holy. You see, the Bible, friends, is not just another book. It's not just another book that we set on our shelves and we allow dust to collect, or maybe it is sometimes, sadly. The Bible should be a different book. It should be a book that we have an appreciation for. You see, the Bible is a book that can produce life. The Bible is a book that can rebuke. The Bible is a book that can change a life. The Bible is a book whose author is God. And many times we don't hold to it firmly. We don't hold to it firmly enough. We pay more attention to Netflix and the various CNN and the Fox News channels and all kinds of different things. And the Apostle Paul says, you want to shine as stars in this perverse and broken generation? Hold firmly, hold fast, hold out to the word of life. What does that mean? What it means is to give attention to stay a while. You see, sadly, we read the scriptures as we read any other novel many times. We read the scriptures as if it's just mere knowledge and information's sake, and we say, I read this chapter, now I'll move on to the next one. To hold fast to the word of life means to stay a while, to soak in the living word, to stay a while, to allow it to permeate your very being, to stay a while. Years ago, before God called me to full-time vocational ministry, many times I would pack my lunch. And during the lunch hour, I would turn off the phone. Now you might think, okay, that's no big deal. But if you're in sales, the phone is money. That phone rings, it means food on your table. And then I would close the door. And if you're in sales, and you're not there to receipt payments or do whatever else you need to do, it's unheard of. And I would close my door, turn off the phone, and I would open up the Word. And I would stay a while. I would allow the living Word, the Scriptures, to permeate my soul, to change me from the inside out. And many times, friends, we focus on the behaviors. And I'm here to tell you, the behaviors are the symptoms of the arguing and the complaining. And don't get me wrong, I've witnessed it here, friends. Witnessed it here. Witnessed it at every church I've been involved in. It's sad. But you know, the arguing, the complaining, that isn't the issue, friends. That's the symptom, and it's the same thing as with drug addicts and alcoholics. That's not the issue. It's a symptom of a deeper problem. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to convey to the church at Philippi. You're arguing, you're complaining. But you want to know why? Because you haven't stayed a while in the living word of life. Jesus said himself, I'm the bread of life. I am the light of the world. You see, when I was at Maplewood, the last church before I came here, God plunked on my doorstep a recovery ministry. Now, I had never entered into any of the rooms at all, and yet I found myself sitting in a room full of 16 odd men who, and they weren't odd, but 16 some odd men. I'm more odd than they were, truth be told. But, and then we had the ladies come in, and the one thing, interesting enough, was this, is that, you know, we had the ladies working with the ladies, and I worked with the men, and every single time we would get a new person come to that church, I would meet them at the door, and there was a reason why, friends. I would meet them at the door, and they would physically be shaking, scared to death. And what we did, I told them right up front, I said, you know what, guys, I can't solve your issues, I can't solve your problems, but one thing I can do is I can take you to the foot of the cross. I can take you to the source of freedom. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, the word of life. And we went to the foot of the cross. At the beginning months of me working with those men, I'm telling you what, I would make phone calls, several phone calls on the way out of there, and I would say, hey, you know what, I sense that you're on, there's a little tension going on. Complaining and arguing amongst themselves. Strangely enough, over the months, they turned into years. That subsided. Then we'd have other individuals come in. And these other individuals, they'd approach me at the end of the meeting and they would say, hey, I want to tell you why I'm here. Then they would name out a couple of the individuals and they said, I would be in the rooms and I was in the room before they came in the room. I'm still there. They're still there. But something happened in them and I want what happened in them. Are you seeing the connection? The connection is those individuals that stayed a while in God's Word on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. with me. They stayed a while. They were changed. They were transformed. As Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed in the metamorphosis as if a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. You stay a while. You stay a while. And they were changed, and people started to take note. You see, we don't notice a light bulb until it stops burning bright. Do you ever think about that? We don't notice the light bulb until it stops burning. When it's burning and doing what it's created to do, we don't even pay it no mind. We go to the wall and turn on the switch and, oh, lo and behold, we got light. The same is true for you and me. People don't notice Christians until they stop shining as stars. And then we hear things like Mahatma Gandhi says, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Oh. Yes, he said that. Before he walked away from Christianity. You see, the Apostle Paul is saying this. He's saying, are you not aware that the source of the power that raised Jesus from the dead in the created being of Christ, that rose him from the dead, that conquered sin and death, are you not aware that that same power exists in the Holy Writ, the Holy Scriptures? Are you not aware that it is that same power in the Holy Spirit that works in you and through you? I wonder if we're aware. Because if we were aware, we would do far less complaining and arguing, and we would do far more staying a while in God's Word. Am I wrong? It's sad. It's very sad. To hold fast, to hold out the word of life. And then you know where it goes? It goes to this, and it says, I can't share the gospel with anybody. I can't do that. I can't invite anybody. You see, that same Greek word means to hold firmly, to stay a while, or to offer. You know, sometimes we don't have anything to offer people. All we can offer is Christ. All we can offer is what God has done in our life. And sometimes we don't even have to offer it with words as a light bulb. The bulbs don't say anything. They just shine. They illuminate. They dispel the darkness. You see, when we stay a while in God's Word, what happens is we then too begin to do exactly what light bulbs do. You see, stars, they dispel the physical darkness in the night sky. We as believers who follow Christ and who stay a while in God's Word, we banish spiritual and moral darkness. I don't know if you're aware, but on October 7th of this month, when we voted and the vote came back as approving to blend both of these two churches, are you aware that there was a bondage, a spiritual bondage that was broken between these two congregations? Are you aware? A spirit of disunity. a spirit of individuality. And when that was broken, we shared with the community, and we will continue to share with the community in the manner of shining brightly as stars. See, I don't know if you've watched the news lately, but I'm here to tell you there is so much dissension and so many factions and so much unrest and so much division in this world. The last thing that we need to do as followers of Jesus Christ is to reinforce that, nope, there's no difference in Christianity. That's the last thing that we ought to be doing. And when we don't stay a while in God's word, what happens is the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth, and we begin to argue and complain, and, oh, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this isn't to my preference, and this isn't right. Have you stayed a while? Have you stayed a while? I believe the Apostle Paul would tell us to do three things here. You see, you can't stay in God's word and not be changed. It's totally impossible. You cannot open God's word with a right mind and open heart and not be changed. Because the word of God is living and sharper than any double-edged sword and able to divide soul and spirit and marrow from bone. You cannot stay a while and not be changed. And many times we focus on the external behaviors, and that's merely the symptom. The real cause is the heart issue, friends. I believe the Apostle Paul would tell us to do three things. First, he would say, appreciate God's word. Appreciate God's word. Now, what does that mean, to appreciate God's word? We can appreciate God's word as I've had family members who had this ginormous Bible under this glass case and they never opened it. You can appreciate it that way, but I'm here to tell you it won't have any merit or any benefit to your soul, because until that word of God, the eternal truths of God, get into your very being, it's not going to change you. We must be like Ezra, who ate the scroll. We must eat the word of God. We must ingest it. We must appreciate it. And it must have such a radically different place in our lives than all the other words that were written. And yet many times we open up the Holy Writ, the scriptures, the text, the Holy Bible, and we simply read it as if it were another novel written by mere mortal men. No, I'm here to tell you, God's word is infallible. It's inscrutable. God's word is God-breathed. God's word is able to convict and sharpen and rebuke and transform, and God's word is able to give life. God's word is God's. So it comes from him. You want to shine like stars? Get plugged into the life-giving word of God. God's word must have a special place in your life and mine if we ever intend to shine. If we ever intend to shine. Jesus said it this way, friends. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill, you cannot hide. For such a time as this, Trinity United Methodist Church has been called to this village to be the light of the world, to shine as shining stars, to dispel the darkness, to offer something different, to offer hope for the anchors of the people's souls who are in despair, to offer peace where people are in anxiety and anguish, to offer strength to those who are weak, to share about the self-sacrificing love, the agape love that Jesus loved you and me so much that he laid down his life on Calvary, and he did what you and I could never do. offered an acceptable sacrifice, to offer the promise of hope from the words of God Himself that say, for all who believe in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. So we must appreciate God's word. It must have a place in our life. You see, you travel around the world and you see what happens and you hear about individuals over in lands such as China, and they just want one page. Just give me one page. We got 15 Bibles on our shelf and don't read any of them. The second thing the Apostle Paul would say would to be appropriate God's word. Now, to appropriate, that's a weird word, and really what it means is to authorize, to set apart, to give it some specific purpose in your life. Are you authorizing the Holy Spirit of God to change your heart? Are you giving God's word a place where no other words of this world have in your life? Are you allowing the word of God to have the purpose to transform your very being? See, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. See, the very same things that God the Father can do, that Jesus the Son revealed, the Word of God can do in your life and mine. Interestingly, I know a lot of people that read God's word, and yet they never give it the authorization to change their heart, mind, and soul. They read it for their own benefit. So if you appreciate God's word and you appropriate it in your life, the last thing that we need to do is to apply it. To apply it. To apply God's word. How do we do that? We apply it by living it out. We apply it by staying a while in it. We apply it by offering it to other people when they're in times of need. We apply it, friends, when God convicts us and we listen. We heed the leading of the Lord. We apply it by worshiping together and all the precepts and all the truths in it. We apply it, friends. As we move forward, we are coming up with working on a joint vision, mission statement. We are working on strategies and goals and core values. A discipleship path. And one of these components must be to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if it's not, friends, and we will never shine as stars in a perverse and crooked generation. The world needs Christians to shine. And I'm a firm believer that the only way that we do that is to, as a light bulb, get into the life-giving source, which is God's word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Christ, for your mercy and your love. Lord, you didn't leave us out here without any instruction. You gave us your instruction, O God. Father, give us the intention and the discipline to open up your word and to stay a while. To not rush through, but to stay a while with you. Father, may your word soak into our souls. May your word change our hearts and open our minds. Father, it's our desire to shine as stars. Stars that reflect the light that you have and the light that you are. It's our heart's desire to impact this broken, fallen world for your glory. Lead us, we pray. May our intentions be pure and true, and may we be plugged in to the life-giving source of your holy word and offer that same source to those that we come across, all for your glory's sake. We bless you now and we praise you in the holy name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we close this time of worship, if you would please stand and join with us as we sing our closing song here today. See, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Amen.
Hello. Well, I would like Pastor Max, if you would come forward, and Avery, if you would. The month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and it's such a good thing just to remind us. You know, it's one of those world things a lot of times, you know, how they say all the Hallmark things. But it's a time for us to remember how much we appreciate you guys and to express that to you. So I would like to call, if could everybody come forward, or anybody who can come forward, so that we are unified around them for prayer? Would that be okay? Please. Thank you. I know why the Lord gave me these scriptures now. Thank you so much for coming forward. Anyone who can, should be. So I would like to pray just two scriptures that the Lord gave me today, and I totally understand now why the Holy Spirit did after listening to you teach us today, Pastor. And then I would love it if anyone wants to pray, please do over them. Any words that the Lord gives you, please. Okay. So the first scripture he gave me was in Psalm 25. Verses 4 and 5. And when I read, I always read the footnotes, and the footnotes are the real giver away on this one. And so I pray this over both of you, that these would be your words. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And when I go to the footnotes, it says, where do we find that truth? Where do we find that hope? It is in the Word of God. And just like you taught us today, Pastor, go to His Word and find great hope and truth and guidance. And the second one was where Elisha, ask Elijah for a double portion of his blessing. Well, he actually asked it of the Spirit because of the being a prophet, because, you know, Elijah was about to leave and Elisha wanted that. But the footnotes are beautiful. It said, with the purest of heart, the very purest of intentions, Elisha asked Elijah. So it says in here, I'm just going to read it because it's God's word. It said, when they had crossed, this is 2 Kings 2, verse 9. It says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. So I pray a double portion of God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, His presence, the gifts of His Spirit, the fruits of his spirit, his love. I'm going to read these because it's not what we can, it's his love, the spirit's love, the spirit's joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness be with you, his goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things be with you and on you and live through you. In Jesus' name. Anyone else want anybody? Well, Lord, we thank you so much for Pastor Max and Avery. May you continue to allow them to lead us in this journey that we are on, Lord. May you lead them and guide them as we have prayed. Be with them, empower them, fill them to overflowing with yourself and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.